Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm speaking about overcoming self. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." Verse 2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 6, "For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." The word mortify in Strong's is number 3499. It comes from another word which means to deaden or kill, that is, figuratively, to subdue or be dead or mortify. Your love for things in this world after a dramatic conversion should have disappeared. Those in love with Jesus get their joy from pleasing God by faith, serving Him in complicated situations. Your life is not hidden with Christ in God if every time something happens on earth, you get anxious and resurrect your flesh. You will have many opportunities to mortify those things making your flesh comfortable before time runs out, as this world is now passing away. When Jesus came back, those eating and drinking will be left behind. Matthew 24 and verse 38. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 6. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Verse 5. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." In the Message Bible, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2 says, "So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective." Those following Christ, hearing and obeying the Spirit consistently, do not yield to any distractions. Make no excuses. It is possible to function without relying on human wisdom and man's technology. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 27. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 25. "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Verse 27, and this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those not killing their flesh when it manifests in these last days are missing opportunities. Governments are being shaken and services affected everywhere. Recently, the captain of my delayed flight returning back to the UK explained to everyone on board how the Gulf Stream is now unpredictable, producing large amounts of air turbulence. If this continues, the airline industry in the Northern Hemisphere, serving holiday makers, will be affected, causing even more stress. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Jews scattered in the persecution were the first converts through deep repentance, and more righteous than the lawless Gentiles, to whom they had to submit and serve with joy. Some were working in harsh conditions, doing jobs no one else was willing to do. They had to hear God, not give their new masters any advice or get angry in the process. James continued in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The religious leaders in Jerusalem had still not deeply repented after killing the Messiah, and many perished in the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Those who repented and faithfully gave the good confession found themselves in humble circumstances after listening to the apostles. Make sure you look deeply into the law of liberty, or you may get offended at God. In areas where you are strong or gifted, go slowly, listen, and stay humble. You only have liberty to do what God gives you the grace to do. When you look in the mirror, you should see Christ being formed in you through trials and difficulties, and not a religious castaway. Jesus lived his whole life hearing and obeying his Father by the Spirit, and you can do the same. The only reason you do not obey the rightly revealed word of truth through conviction, according to James, is because you have not overcome self. You conveniently forget what needs repentance. Use a notebook to record conviction if you want to get the victory. In the Message Bible, James 1, 22-25 says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other, act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like, But whosoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. The word of truth comes at inconvenient times and in complicated situations, so you have to be a good listener always. If someone living in this world describes you as so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly use, take that as a compliment. God is transmitting his perfect will more clearly than ever for those who want to be controlled by the Spirit. Follow his instructions, trust and obey, and you will get godly wisdom. James also wrote in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is in James chapter 1, starting in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Do you need some wisdom? Time is running out. God has planned some trials and difficulties perfect for you. Those with doubts try to serve two masters because they believe it's not possible to serve God without being comfortable. Do not become a wave of the sea yourself by using your mind to make decisions. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 12. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and reading verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. The term sea is used to describe those relying on earthly wisdom to make their lives more comfortable. Seeking a spiritual solution from God at the last minute is the fruit of a lazy believer. If you keep using your mind, you will create a very challenging situation at the end of your life that you will have to overcome by faith to finish your race. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 30 to 36, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Verse 31. And if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Verse 32. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Verse 33. Ye sent unto John, and he bore witness unto the truth. Verse 34. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. Verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on spiritual maturity, in the introduction on page 8, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the scripture John 5:30 is the foundation for living a spiritually mature life. When you seek the Father's will rather than your own, you cannot keep from being spiritual. You do not consult your will or personal preferences. Those who have a confidence in their flesh have not overcome self. Jesus had life and power to represent God on earth, Man was created in the image of God to do the same. The religious Jews even had a chance to experience godly sorrow at the death of John the Baptist, but they had no remorse because they were resisting the truth and using their minds. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You have to qualify to eat with Jesus. He was sent to help those who knew they were sick and did not blame God, the devil, or anyone else for their poor spiritual progress. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 5:30 says, "I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me." You are not designed by God to consult your own will for any reason. To overcome, you need ears to hear and then to trust and obey. You must believe he is God. He sees the end from the beginning. For you to consult your own will, you have to use your mind and think, "What would I like to do?" You may not think about your own will now, but in perilous times you might. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Verse 3. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Verse 4. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." Verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Verse 6. "For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." Verse 7. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Paul told Timothy to prepare by being strong in the grace, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, and live like a soldier. Those making excuses, laden with many sins, are taken captive by false prophets with a form of godliness based on earthly gain or outward righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 16, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in that way." Verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Verse 16. "You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" False prophets are here today, serving those with a hardness of heart against conviction, listening to their flesh instead. Those who fear God get on the narrow way. They rely on the Spirit, grieving and conviction, to establish spiritual boundaries and do not have a confidence in the flesh. Those complaining and listening to conspiracy theories in the body of Christ produce thorns and thistles. Christianity is a relationship with God where everyone has a personal responsibility to seek His kingdom and His righteousness by hearing and obeying His voice consistently under pressure. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Conviction is a blessing under the new covenant. You do not need anyone else to teach you. If you are coming to repentance and your life is changing, the fearful and unbelieving listen to their flesh and believe Christianity is just another religion. When confronted or convicted by the truth, they join another ministry where they can serve two masters. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The faith of those in an area that acts immediately on what God says has been perfected. Those in the flesh react and miss God's best. James believed that it was just a matter of time before those growing up spiritually doing the will of God would have everything they need without compromising on the truth. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The word defile in Strong's is number 3392. It's a primary verb, means to sully or taint. That is to contaminate, ceremonially or morally to defile. In the Message Bible, James 1:19-21 says, post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue. And let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness does not grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Thorns and thistles growing in your spiritual garden from intersections you face in your life will cause others to stumble. What you do speaks much louder than what you say. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God in divine things, with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. You have been given grace and truth to repent and do what is right in every area. Do not be surprised when God resists you doing what you want. You will not be walking by faith today if God or one of his servants was not regulating your life. David wrote in Psalms 23, verses 1 to 4. This is in the Psalms. Chapter 23, I'm reading verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus must function as your shepherd for your soul to be fully restored. You will have no fear of evil. It's not enough just to ask God about a few important decisions. If you do not like big changes through conviction, use a notebook with a sin list that you can update regularly. At my salvation, I was convicted of the fact that I needed to accept Christ unconditionally and make him Lord in all areas. I started asking questions like, can a Christian do this or that activity? I was nervous until I learned how to live controlled by the Spirit. Charles Wesley in 1740 wrote this hymn. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the heavens guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, ah, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenceless head with the shadow of thy wing. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity. Charles Wesley restored his soul and deepened his spiritual life by not compromising on righteousness in trials and difficulties with the grace of God. Never forget what you were like serving your own interests before salvation and how you let the devil nearly destroy your soul. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm studying verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. When I started in the ministry, I had thoughts, if I ever went to a developing country, something bad would happen. Africa gave me the best understanding of God's love. The people I stayed with were kind. I was in primitive surroundings with limited resources. I had no personal money with me, and God provided what I needed through preaching. The message was well received everywhere, as I was an example of trusting God with all my heart. Nothing in this world can separate you or anyone from experiencing God's love except you. Do not listen to a spirit of fear, doubts, and unbelief, and overcome self to follow Christ. Jesus is the lover of your soul, not you. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Luke 9:23 says, and he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also. What you gain in this life without asking God will keep you busy doing more dead works. Through the cares of this world, you will perish, not having the time you need to repent deeply. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. This is in the book of Romans chapter 7. I'm reading verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul discovered self is not spiritual and therefore part of the problem. Your old you inside, separated from God, is always looking for the easiest option. So do not listen to it. Carnal Christians being loyal to self use Paul's statement here to excuse their sinful state. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In the book Light in chapter 5 on Good Soldier on pages 32 and 33, Joseph Hedgecock writes, you must be willing to pay the price to have victory over Satan. We have the opportunity to live in the Spirit and be used of God to overcome the devil. But Satan will defeat us if we attempt to overcome him in the flesh. We can only overcome the devil by the power of God as we abide in Christ and obey his commandments. Many of us get weary in well-doing because we find it hard to overcome Satan. This is the result of using methods that originate in spiritualized flesh rather than simple obedience to God and confidence that he will defeat the enemy. Revelation 12:11 says, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but we must appropriate the provision God has given us. Our lives should reflect the truths in the Bible, but we must abide in Christ if we want to have the victory over the devil and the flesh. The fruit in your life proclaims whether or not you are a victorious child of God and an effective soldier in his army. If you find yourself defeated by the enemy and continually submitting to your sinful nature, it is because you are abiding in the Adam nature. However, when you abide in Christ, the victory is already won. God assists you when he is Lord, and you will have victory if you walk in his ways. To overcome the flesh and the devil, the power of the Holy Spirit is available today for those who want to hear, trust, and obey the Spirit consistently. If you do not love Jesus above yourself at any time, you will be overcome. Jesus knows best and is qualified to make all the decisions in your life. He proved his love by dying in your place on the cross when all your personal sins were put upon him. Paul wrote, in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 37. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul got a conquering, overwhelming victory through Christ always because he had mortified his earthly members in order to hear and obey the Spirit consistently. God knows what the devil is doing. Paul knew the devil was not the problem. If you believe that the flesh is your enemy, you will find and get on the narrow way. You will experience his love. If he is functioning as Lord of your life, only those on the narrow way discover his unfailing love and make a declaration of independence against the devil, trying to make them comfortable with sin. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Opportunity to experience his care for your daily life will be lost through thinking. Jesus will remind you of what you really need by bringing back thoughts to your memory that you have forgotten. Your mind must be calm to hear Psalm 46 and verse 10. By listening to the flesh, you will become anxious. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Those following Christ do not get trodden underfoot or defeated. A mature church without spot and wrinkle is the answer to environmental issues, economic instability, and deforestation. Sin abounding in the world is a sign that the church has lost its saltiness, its preserving qualities through the truth. Evangelistic churches accept someone preaching repentance from bad works, but very few accept anyone preaching repentance from dead works. A dead work is any work that the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do. Many do not believe that sin is anything contrary to the perfect will of God, because they prefer to be Lord of their own lives in many areas. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 18, verses 3 to 6. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Our natural parents have a limited understanding, but our Heavenly Father sees the end from the beginning. Churches trapped by the devil are surprised to hear that anyone today can hear detailed answers to domestic issues so clearly. Leaders with a natural education overcome by the devil will tell you God gave you a brain and expects you to use it for those daily decisions. Do not let anyone convince you there is something too small that you cannot ask God about. No one can enter the kingdom without becoming like a little child. Many evangelistic churches will tell you being born again is enough, but that's not the truth. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In the book Sound Doctrine, chapter 3, on how faith works, on page 126, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the just shall live by faith. We cannot ever please God without faith. And anything that's not of faith is sin. It's absolutely crucial that we have faith and that it's operating properly. We want to be justified by God. Every child of God must have faith that is healthy and functioning. Your faith is a gift from God and can only function when it's released into God and His rightly revealed word of truth. If your earthly members are still alive in these last days, your priorities are wrong and your faith is misdirected. Grace is increasing for those willing to learn obedience to the Spirit as time is nearly up. If you only have a natural education, you will find it hard just to hear, trust, and obey without understanding first and using your natural mind. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and reading verse 35. And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." The religious Jews were too proud to follow Christ. His disciples, following Jesus like sheep, later confounded those studying the law with their minds on the day of Pentecost with God's insight, grace, and power. Jesus gets to know you personally every day in terms of how you respond under pressure and still loves you. Based on the choices you make, He knows whether or not He can or cannot use you in complicated situations. Do not complain when you are given a more challenging command or task, but rejoice as you might not get another promotion like this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works.'" Verse 23. "Then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" The word "new" in Strong's is number 1097. It's a prolonged form of a primary verb to know. Absolutely, in a great variety of applications with many implications. It means to allow, to be aware of, to feel, to have knowledge, to perceive, to be resolved, an ability to speak and be sure and understand. You cannot get to know Christ deeply by just being aware of His presence in Spirit-filled meetings. Knowing Him comes from sharing your heart so that you are sure, confident, know and understand when convicted what He is telling you to do as your Lord and Master. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 22 and 23 says, "I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, 'Master, we preached the message, we bashed the demons. Our super spiritual projects had everyone talking.' And do you know what I'm going to say? 'You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here.'" Jesus died on the cross and will definitely talk to you about areas of conviction because He wants you to repent. He never used His divine nature but laid aside His majesty so that you and I could get to know Him in the same way two people can be best friends or a husband and a wife. What have you given up in order to get to know Him? A relationship cannot be one-sided. Only those overcoming self by taking up their cross daily can get to know Christ personally. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, in your own words, explain what it means to deny yourself. Refer to the Amplified Bible Classic Edition as well if necessary. Number two, In your own words, what does it mean to take up your cross daily, and explain how this is necessary to make steady progress spiritually? Number three, give an example of thorns and thistles growing in your spiritual garden and how you overcame and removed them. If you want to hear, get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about overcoming self. You can subdue or get the victory over self by faith. You don't have to listen to self or be afraid. You have a new Father who knows everything. My prayer for you is that you will hear, trust and obey promptly the Spirit of Christ. Jesus is walking with you every day by the Spirit to see what kind of person you really are. Let him know by taking up your cross daily. Hallelujah. Father, I commit those into your hands that have listened to this video. Bless them as they've gone through verse by verse. And you've been speaking about areas where they can let go and trust you more precisely with all their heart. And Father, encourage them to do so in Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.